It's time to join the American Family Robinson again in Birch Falls, where the case of career versus a happy married life is proving a serious hurdle for Luke and Myra. Having won fame as the ideal married couple, Luke and Myra found they had no time to lead a normal domestic life. Myra, in particular, devoted all her energies to her radio programs, fans, and personal appearances. Luke, becoming more and more fed up, receives the final straw when Gus Poppelmeyer, rival department store owner, installs a dictaphone in the Robinson home, hoping to obtain evidence to discredit the ideal couple. Finally driven to desperation, Luke leaves home on the eve of a personal appearance to find, as he says in his note to Myra, a private life. Myra, browbeaten by Aunt Agatha into making a personal appearance alone, breaks down in tears before the Emporium audience. Next morning, we find Poppelmeyer's undercover man, Fowler, standing at his boss's desk. Let's listen.
Well, I suppose the ideal couple were just as ideal as ever at the Emporium last night.
Listen, boss, I got a big piece of information to impart.
Well, go ahead and impart it. No. Don't sit down.
I tried to reach you last night after I left the Emporium, but you'd gone to bed.
Well, go ahead, Fowler. What is this information? Quit stalling around.
You'd better brace yourself for a pleasant surprise, boss.
Don't tell me that we've sold that brocaded kimono that we've had in the window there for the last 3 years.
No, boss. Better than that.
Yeah? Well, yeah. Come on. What's on your mind? I haven't got all morning out with it.
Boss, Luke Robinson left his wife.
What? What's that? He left?
Yep, just like I said. He walked out on a cold.
You don't mean that Robinson actually left home?
That's what I do mean. Packed his bag and cleared out on the night train. I found out from the baggage master.
The perfect husband leaves his wife, eh? but he couldn't.
No, he did.
No. I've listened to him yes his wife day in and day out. No. Not that guy.
Oh, but listen, boss. It's the truth. I got it straight from Emmy Lou. You can trust the old detective.
Robinson walks out, and I walk in. And how I'll walk in. Why, I've got the Emporium trade right in the palm of my hand.
I guess they can't put no more of those personal appearances in without a perfect husband.
What's their loss is our gain. And wait until the fans hear about this, Fowler. And we'll tell them. Tell them plenty.
You should have seen the crowd gape last night when Wendy tried to tell them Luke had gone to buy Myra a present.
So they're trying to bluff it through, are they? Well, we'll take care of that. We don't lie to our customers at Poppelmeyer's.
Mrs. Robinson couldn't make it. Even after Winkle's buildup, she broke down and began to cry.
Huh?
Right in front of the audience.
In front of the audience?
Yeah.
So, Fowler, you're not quick enough, eh? The whole town knows about Luke.
What?
Listen to me, you bungler. If you spoil our chance, I'll...
No, boss. Don't get overheated. Myra didn't say nothing. Nobody knows anything outside the Robinsons and us.
Well, they better not.
Oh, of course, some of them folks in the audience may be doing a bit of wondering, but...
We'll tell them, Fowler. But in our own good time.
Yeah.
And in a way that'll bring them right back into our store.
You're going to broadcast it, boss? You're going to hire a hall?
Well, I am. I want to get the best angle.
Yeah.
I don't want to jump into this and land on my back. No. We got to go slow, see?
How about a whispering campaign?
Yes. Who do we whisper to?
To people in Birch Falls. Me and another guy could just spread the word that folks could learn the lowdown at Poppelmeyer's on the busting up.
No, Fowler, no. We don't want any underhanded stuff. Oh, no. Never let it be said that Poppelmeyer's threw mud. We got to be simple, direct, and use psychology. Yes, sir. That's what we want, psychology.
Okay, boss, if you say so, but I don't see how...
Fowler, we want customers here, not in the Emporium or anywhere else. Yes?
Yes.
We've got the exclusive story of the bust-up. Yes?
Yes.
Well, all right.
Sure, but you got to tell people somehow.
Oh, sure, Fowler, we'll tell them, but not too much. We'll put a sign out. We'll tell them in letters 5 feet high... Right over the door.
A sign? What you gonna say on the sign? It ain't enough.
Oh, but it'll bring the customers in here to learn more. See? Now, look, stupid. I'll show you. You go and bring me some of that big display paper in the cabinet.
Okay, boss. You sure are a deep one, boss. What a mentality. Here you are, Mr. Poppelmeyer.
All right, thanks. Now, let's see.
Yeah.
We'll take care of the perfect couple, all right?
Uh-huh.
With no added expense, either. Uh-huh. I guess that old war horse Agatha will feel pretty sick when she sees this.
You tell him, boss.
Yes, now, let's see. Ideal couple. Now, buy at Poppelmeyer's and...
And am I glad I ain't got to tote Emmy Lou around anymore. Phew, what a relief.
There, Fowler. Take a look at this. Yeah. We'll plaster it across the front of the store, huh?
Goods are for human beings, not ideal couples. Uh-huh. Buy here and your husband won't leave you like Luke left Myra Robinson.
Good, eh?
Boss, it's got everything. It's perfect.
And spread it across the store in red letters. Yes, sir. That'll bring the trade in, all right.
Oh, Mr. Poppelmeyer, it's unnatural. You got genius, that's all. Genius.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Fowler, it's all in knowing psychology. I think we ought to have the sign repeated in the Star Eagle. Yes, sir, a full-page ad with just that and nothing else. But, Fowler, we've got to act fast before the story gets around about Luke and Myra busting up. We want to be the ones to break the news, huh?
Sure, boss. I'm ready. Just give the command.
All right. Now, you take this copy down to the Star Eagle and put in an ad, a whole page ad for tonight and tomorrow.
I'm on my way.
Fowler, wait. Yeah. Wait, Fowler. And I want you to stop at the sign, Peter, and order a 5x25 banner for the front of the store. A rush job, you understand. We've got to have it today.
You bet. I am practically there.
Hey, Fowler.
Yeah, Mr. Fowler.
You better wait for the sign and bring it back with you.
Okay, boss, okay.
I knew it. I knew Luke Robinson would crack up sooner or later. Oh, but darn it. If I'd have known this was going to happen, I needn't have spent the money on that dictaphone.
And while Gus is planning his public exposure of the rift in the Robinson loot, we find Wendy and Aunt Agatha together in her front parlor. Let's listen.
But folks is bound to see Luke ain't in the emporium. I don't see how we're going to keep him from smelling a rat.
Yeah, oh dear, sure looks bad. We might have had a chance if Myra hadn't broken down last night in front of all the fans.
She just ain't got no stamina at all. Luke neither. Can't stand a little discomfort.
Luke never did have any notion of how to make money. I mean, like I do.
Just shiftless, both of them. One running away and t'other breaking down. Weaklings. You better answer the phone, Wendy. But don't tell nobody nothing about Luke.
Don't worry. I'll stall them all. Hello? This is Winkle speaking.
Oh, hello, Mr. Winkle. This is Twink Pennybacker, down at the store. And listen, Mr. Winkle.
Yes, my dear young lady. What can I do for you?
I just don't know what to do, Mr. Winkle. We're in a fix down here.
Now, what's the matter? What's happened?
Well, it's about Mr. Robinson.
What about Mr. Robinson? What's happened?
Well, everybody who comes in wants to know where he is and what he's doing and when he's coming back. And I don't
about
know what
Luke.
To say.
Shh, I can't hear. What's that, Miss Pennybacker?
I said, what am I going to tell him about Mr. Robinson?
Yes, be careful. Somebody might be listening in. Now look, Twink, just stick to what was said about his buying a present from Myra in Chicago.
Well, all right. But I don't think they'll swallow that long. It doesn't seem to go so good.
Tell her to quit gabbing and start selling.
Miss Pennybacker, just hold everything till I get down there. Hand them the old oil.
All right, Mr. Winkle. I'll do the best I can. Goodbye.
Goodbye. It's very bad. Very bad. We've got to take action.
We've got to find a reasonable explanation for Luke being away. Something that will satisfy the fans.
So I've been thinking, Aunt Agatha, maybe we better drop this ideal couple promotion. Maybe we've kind of squeezed it dry.
Dry nothing. If Luke hadn't let out, we'd have packed the store this morning, and you know it.
But I think we ought to try something new. Free dishes, maybe. Like in the movies. We got to figure out some way of giving Poppelmeyer some competition.
Listen, Winkle, our customers expect an ideal couple, and the Emporium ain't never let the customer down.
Yeah, but this all's got to be a first time. And when we let the customer down, Poppelmeyer's going to take him up.
We could still keep Myra making personal appearances if she just bucks up and get an alibi for Luke till he comes to his senses.
But, Aunt Agatha,
up to now, you ain't been doing so good. What do you think, if you can?
What do you say to closing the store for 3 days a week? Just be open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
For the land's sake, what for?
Well, maybe if we made it harder for the public to buy stuff at the Emporium, they'd appreciate the store more on the few days it was open.
Oh, fiddlesticks.
Well, I just sort of thought the public knew, for instance, that the store wouldn't be open Tuesday. They'd be tempted to buy more on Monday than they would if they could. You get the thought?
No.
Well, you got to admit, though, it'd be nice for us employees to have, say, a 20 or 30-hour week?
Don't you come round me with any talk about a 30-hour week. They tried that in France, and look what happened.
Yes, but this ain't France.
Maybe it ain't, but there are a lot of people who want to put in the same so-called social gains here that they had over there.
Is that so? I wasn't aware of that.
Winkle, if you'd read the newspapers and magazines instead of all them there horse racing publications, you might have a better idea of what's going on in the world.
Yes, perhaps, but it was always my impression that the 30-hour week was strictly an American idea.
No, sir. Comes from abroad. Thank goodness it's only an idea here. Over in France, it was the legal standard. They stuck to it till they found out that all this here idealism had to be replaced with realism, a facing of facts.
Yes, and then?
And then it was too late. They didn't have time to build the machinery necessary to defend their country.
Aunt Agatha, you aren't by any chance saying that in the present emergency, this country ought to sacrifice all social gains by wiping them off the statute book?
Nope, I ain't. Certainly not. All I'm saying is that some of them could be eased a bit under the present circumstances. And what good are these gains, I want to know, when a man's home is destroyed by a bomb? And when his wife and kids have to run down a highway under machine gun fire.
I'll admit that's a point.
And what good does it do a dying man to remember that he once got double pay for working over 40 hours a week? Must be a lot of comfort to that ex-premier of France when he sees his people beaten down under mechanical superiority. Must be a lot of comfort to him to remember he kept all them so-called social gains to the end.
That's quite true, quite true. How about Poppelmeyer?
Well, we're at war with Poppelmeyer's, we are. And this ain't no time for Robinson's Emporium to let down on the job. Oh, hello, Myra.
Hello, Myra.
The mailman hasn't come yet, has he, Aunt Agatha?
Nope, he ain't come yet. Ain't due for an hour. I wish you'd forget about that good-for-nothing husband of yours and go and put some powder on your nose, Myra. It's all red and shiny.
I can't understand why Luke hasn't telephoned. You don't think he's hurt, do you? Lying helpless in some hospital.
Oh, Luke can take care of himself. I'll bet he's having himself a swell time somewhere.
Shut up, will you? Now, look, Myra, you've got to come to your senses.
I know. I've got to stop grieving for Luke. I gave myself a thorough soul searching this morning, and I decided that what's happened is probably just as much my fault as his. I'm not blaming him entirely.
Stop sniveling so much. Now, see here, Winkle, about the store, we've got to carry on just like nothing happened. Maybe even put on a special bargain sale.
I get it. I'll go over there and superintend everything.
I've thought it all over. In my heart of hearts, I don't really blame Luke for wanting a change. After all, it was I who insisted on making him into something that he really wasn't.
Oh, nonsense. Your nose looks like a locomotive headlight, Myra.
Oh, if I could only have Luke back. Just as he really was with all his dear faults.
Oh, who cares about that? What I'm interested in is the store. Now, another thing, Windy.
Yes, Aunt Agatha?
Oh, dear. That's just the trouble. Nobody cares about him but me. Oh, Luke.
Well, it may be true that absence makes the heart grow fonder. But it's also true that the absence of customers isn't going to do the Robinson Emporium any good. What will happen? Will Luke come home? And will Gus be able to lure away trade from the Emporium? Listen to our next program, and until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Marjorie Bartlett and Douglas Silver and presented by the National Industrial Council.